with verse 35. Word of God reads, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Verse 38, that word persuaded means I am determined. "For I am determined that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate." I want us, if you will, to make it personal, or delete the word us and install the word me. "Shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence that is here. Lord, you're such a wonderful God. You're a mighty God today, Lord. Father, a God that is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. God, as we have assembled in this house today, you know every need that has been brought into this house. You know the ones that are watching, Lord, right now, and we'll watch later on the needs that they have in their life. But I believe that, Lord, by reading your word, that I can know without a doubt in my mind that, God, that you're a bigger God than any problem that we have. And I pray that today, Lord, that you would just move in the midst of your people. God, touch every individual, touch every family that is represented here today. God, meet their needs. I pray, Father, for that one that may be here or may be watching that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would make the greatest decision of their life to surrender their heart to you. And God, I pray, touch your servant today. Use me for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to minister this morning on a thought the Lord gave me earlier this week for this hour, entitled, "A Godly Determination." A Godly Determination. I can't help but think about if I was to put a subtitle on this: Having a Pit Bull Attitude. Amen? How many times have you heard the pastor say, we've got to have a pit bull attitude? We live in a time where people are so easily manipulated and easy to believe the latest popular fad or movement. If it sounds good, it must be good, is what people are falling for. If we ever need today to be sensitive to the voice of God and live close to God, it's the time that we are living in now. God's word charges us to the following. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 12 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every person as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now let me just put that in real simple terms today. Every person, the Bible says, it says, Lord, Lord, will not enter in. The Bible says that we are to discern the spirits. If there is ever a time that we need the gift of discerning of spirit in our church world, it's the time we are living in now. Because the enemy is doing everything that he can to try to tear down and to get people distracted off of God and onto the things of the God of this world. Can I tell you, Jehovah God is not the God of this world. The God of this world is Lucifer. Lucifer is doing everything he can to tear people apart, to tear homes apart, to try to tear the church apart. But I am so thankful to know today what God's word says, and it is still forever settled in heaven when he said that there is no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, that greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. For those that may be here this morning that may be having problems in your life, I'm here to tell you something today, friend. God is bigger than your problem. For those that are watching and you're saying, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get through? You've got to make up your mind today that you're going to make it because of who you serve and because of who that lives within you. We've got to get a godly determination. We've got to get a pit bull attitude. We need to have godly determination about certain principles in our life today. Number one, we need to have a godly determination about the way of salvation. People are trying to weaken the message about the plan of salvation. They're wanting to tell people that there are many gods. There are many ways to heaven. No, there's not. There is only one way to heaven. And he said it so well himself in St. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No person comes unto the Father but by me. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 5 and 6, Paul writing to the young minister Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 tells us exactly what it takes to be saved when he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter how young we are, how old we are. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks we live or we come from. It doesn't matter about our skin color. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to shut down some thinking and philosophies and teachings that are going on in the world today, and that is this. Everybody goes to heaven. God loves everybody, and he does. And God's not going to send me to hell because he loves me. No, he won't send you to hell. You'll send yourself to hell. You see, God's provided the way to salvation. It wasn't a cheap price that was paid. God sent his only begotten Son into this old world that whosoever shall believe upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter today what your heritage is like. It doesn't matter if grandma and grandpa used to be some of the best Christians in the church world. It doesn't matter today if your spouse is a great loving of God's spouse. It doesn't matter if your parents are great godly parents. Every individual, and hear me well today in this church and those that are watching, every individual will stand before God themselves for their relationship or lack of a relationship with God. Amen. God loves everybody. God sent his Son to die for you and for me. If there had been nobody else upon the face of this earth, God would have sent his Son to die for you. And I want us to ask ourselves a question. Where do I really stand in my relationship with God? Do I have a relationship that I just walk through the flowers and I sing kumbaya, God's a good God? Or have I got down to the place where I said, Lord God, I need you more than anything else in this world. I need you more than money. I need you more than a job. I need you more than a home. God, I need you above everything. You see, this world is going to pass away. One day, I don't care how much money you have, it's going to be gone. One of these days, your home's not going to amount to anything. When the death angel knocks on our door, we are not taking anything with us. When the rapture of the church takes place, it's too late to call upon the Lord then and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please come back and take me. The Bible says that he's coming back after a church in the book of Ephesians that is watching and looking for his coming. And I'm sad to say today, but there are many people that says that they are a child of God but is living a life that is contrary to the Word of God. Having your name on the church books will not get you to heaven. Amen? Coming to church every time the doors are open, it's good, but it won't get you to heaven. Well, how do you know? Because the devil comes to church every Sunday also. Amen? Don't get quiet on me. You said, I don't believe the devil comes every Sunday to church. Well, then why is it that we always start to drift in our minds on other things? Or we begin to think, well, I don't agree with that. Well, I just don't think that he really knows what he's preaching about or see what she's preaching about. I don't like that song. I wish it would be slower, and then somebody else is over here saying, I wish she'd just speed it up. I wish that they would sing this song and not that song. It's the devil that does all that working, trying to get us distracted off of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want us to know today, those that are watching, I want you to know today, you can shake the pastor's hand, but the only thing that you got was a handshake. You didn't get saved. You can go and you can get baptized in water, but if you're not a Christian, you went down a dry center and came up a wet center. Amen? You can have your name on the church books, but the only thing it is just ink. But let me tell you about the book we need to be in. We need our name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because the Bible says that one day we're going to stand before God. There's going to be two judgments. Number one, there's going to be the judgment for the Christian on what they have done with what God has done for them and given to them. That's going to be the judgment for the Christians, accountability. But then there's going to be the great white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is going to be when the Lamb's Book of Life is open. And if the person's name is not written there, they're going to hear these horrible sounding words that they are going to hear throughout all eternity. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Think about it. Think about all the people that have gone out into eternity lost without God. Think about those that once had a relationship with God, but they walked away from it. I really believe that one of the torments, you mean there's going to be more than one? The Bible says that the rich man was in torments. It wasn't singular, it was plural. Torments, more than one. And I really believe that one of those is going to be that they're going to hear every message that they sat under and was preached. They're going to hear all the prayers that was prayed for them. They're going to hear the times when they, and be brought back to their remembrance when they served God, but then when they walked away, how that relationship was broken. And let me say this morning. God never walks away from anybody. People walks away from God. And today we are seeing that people, if ever before, needs to get a godly determination to have salvation in their life. You believe that? Say amen today. The second principle of having a godly determination is we have to have our own personal relationship with God. Look at that person beside him and say, hey, it's all about you. Turn to the other one on the other side and say, it's about you. You see, I can't get you to heaven. The person beside of you can't get you to heaven. Everyone today in this sanctuary and those that are watching, you're going to be held accountable for yourself. This preacher is going to be held accountable for himself. You said, I don't believe that. How can I be responsible for myself? Well, the Bible says in the book of James chapter 4 verse 8 makes it real simple. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 22 and 23 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The gospel of St. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 and 2 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. We are the first person responsible for our spiritual growth and our relationship with God. Our spiritual growth comes by, number one, personally reading God's word. Secondly, a personal prayer time, just you and God. Thirdly, personally attending church. We gain strength by being with each other. But hear me today. If your spouse won't go to church, go to church. If your parents won't go to church, have them bring you to church or call somebody to bring you to church. We have to get to the place where we are in the Word, we are in the altars, and we're in the house of God. Amen? That's how we grow closer and have a stronger relationship with God. The third principle that we need to have a godly determination on is that we can and we will. Everybody say, I can and I will. Endure through hard times. It's not easy. There are going to be days that you're going to get up and you're going to say, God, I don't feel you at all. But hear me today. You're not saved by feeling. You're saved by faith. Well, Pastor Greg, I don't know how I can make it through these hard times. By standing on God's word. Amen. I can make it. You can make it. He said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 and 10, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. If you would go on down in that same chapter in verse 16 through 18, he says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I love verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of my favorite chapters and scriptures in the Word of God, Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. You say, well, Pastor, it's so hard, it's so difficult. But I like what David said, weeping may endure for a night. But joy, everybody shout out joy. But joy comes in the morning. That sounded good today. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12 and 13. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto your land in his season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend unto many nations and you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above and not beneath. If you will obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, to observe and do them. And oh, how we all love, we love to shout about Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. For I know that the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Many of us, we stop right there. But listen to the rest of the story. And it's not by Paul Harvey. It's by God's word. He said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. And you shall seek me and find me here, when you shall search for me with all your heart. We love to shout about verse 11. But we have to read ahead and see, or read on, and we have to see what God is trying to tell us there. We have to seek him with all of our heart. We have to get to the place where we are finding him. Can I tell you, friend, that through every storm that is going on in your life, he's still in the midst of the storm. Through every problem that we face in life, he is right there in the middle of that problem. We need to quit focusing on the problem and get our eyes focused and our hearts focused on the problem solver.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? Life is full of problems. I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but I want us to be truthful. Life is full of problems. God never promised to the Christian that everything was going to be smooth. Far from it.
That's right.
How many's ever had a financial problem in your life? Raise your hand. How many's ever been sick? Raise your hand. How many of you ever had a family member pass away? Raise your hand. What are those? Those are hard times. Amen. If I was to ask in here those of you who had hard financial times, some of you would probably tell me the same thing that a lot of people have told me. I didn't know where my next dime was going to come from. And I tell you, that's more than a testimony in a song. That's more than just something to get people to say, well, does that really happen? Yeah, there's been people that have been to the place they didn't know where their next penny was going to come from. But somehow, God sent more than enough. He sent the financial amount to meet that need and even more so. I never will forget when Michelle and I was in the early years of our marriage, Aaron had just been born, and I had gone to the far points of eastern Kentucky to preach. It was scheduled to be a revival. I can't remember what happened. I think there was a death or something that I was went from having a Sunday through Wednesday revival to just a Sunday morning and Sunday night. We had a certain bill that had to be paid that week or cutoff was going to happen. Going to that place to preach that Sunday morning, I was just by myself. Michelle had stayed home with Aaron. And I was praying and I said, Lord God, you know the need. And Lord, somehow meet that need for us this week before that bill comes to cutoff. I preached that Sunday morning. God moved. Preached Sunday night. Oh, did we have a move of God. I preached on healing. I may have shared this story before, but I preached on healing and about faith. Gave an altar call, and this little lady came from somewhere towards the back of the church, her hand drawn up. She walked up to me, and as I saw her coming toward me, I thought to myself, uh-oh. The devil said, uh-huh. This is his exact words to me. Oh, boy, what are you going to do now? You preached about how God can heal and the great healing powers of God. What are you going to do when that little lady leaves the same way she came? And I'll be transparent with you today. All of a sudden, there was some fear that began to grip me. But then I heard the Holy Spirit speak. He said, but devil, what are you going to do when she walks away healed? About that time, I got a Holy Ghost bonus on me. The people that was around me, we got a bottle of oil. We anointed that lady. But before we anointed and prayed for her, she said, I've been like this since I was born. And she said, I'm tired of being like this. We anointed her and prayed for her. And as I stand here this morning, I began to see, and those people began to see, that arm straighten out and that hand come unfolded and begin to be raised to the Lord. And she took her, one of those little granny Pentecostal spells, running around that church. People that saw her coming got out of the way because they knew that she had the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon her. She had a heart of worship that was going on, and she began to praise and worship and began to touch the hand of God. The next thing you know, the Holy Ghost fell in that place. People began to come forth, needs beginning to get met, people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, people getting saved. And we closed out that service, and as I was going to the car, the pastor had given me an envelope. And I heard the devil speak to me. He said, oh boy, there was that old boy again. Oh boy, what are you going to do now? Your revival was canceled. You went from five services to two. And your cutoff is going to happen in 2 days. I went down the road. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, pull over. I pulled over. He said, open up that envelope. I opened up the envelope, and I'm here to tell you what I was given that day as a love offering for two services was about 3 or 4 times more than what our bill was to be cut off. You said, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying my God is never too late. I'm here to tell somebody in this house today, friend, that no matter what the problem may be, no matter what the hard time may be, no matter how difficult, no matter how impossible it may look, my God is a God that takes the impossible and makes it possible. Somebody give him praise in the house this morning. Fourthly today, the fourth principle that we need to have a godly determination about is this. We will be watchful and we will be victorious against our adversary. Say that with me. I will be watchful. I will be victorious against my adversary. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. Verse 10 says, the thief cometh to kill, but not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Matthew chapter 17 or 7 verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I had to look that up because the Bible that I used, it's got some little notes on the side and says this is what the interpretation means. A wolf in sheep's clothing is symbolic for someone who outwardly looks harmless and kind with good intentions, but inwardly is full of hate, evil, and deceit. These wolves teach false doctrine while appearing harmless and attractive. Hey, pardon the way I put this, but we need to wake up. We need to realize that everybody's not in for your best interest. They're not in your best interest. They're not in your family's best interest. They're not in the best interest of God's church. They are definitely just wolves in sheep's clothing. And he said, beware of them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this, be sober. In other words, be in control of your mind. You ever seen somebody that's strung out on drugs? They're high. Have you ever seen anybody that is drunk? They're not sober. In other words, they don't have control of their mind. Amen? It says, be sober, be vigilant. That word vigilant means watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm also, and my scripture's not in this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's a dangerous thing to have a relationship with God and backslide. The Bible talks about that when demons are cast out of an individual, they accept the Lord, they are clean, they are holy. However, everybody say however, if they backslide, if they walk away from the Lord, they are unclean. The Bible says that the demons will come back 7 times stronger than the first. Pass judgment all you want to. Call me a fanatical. Call me crazy. And I might be all of the above. But you hear me. It's a dangerous thing to play with God and your relationship with him. You say, well, I'm not, Just a little bit's not going to hurt anything. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you, there are millions of people in hell today that said, I didn't think a little bit would be of any harm to me, but I went out into eternity lost without God. You say, well, you mean that a little bit of sin will send a person to hell? Yes. You mean that after all I've done, the Bible says we're not saved by our works or our deeds, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we get to the place that we say, well, just a little bit's not going to hurt a thing, we need to go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, destroy. He hates you. He hates your family. He hates everything about you because you are a child of God. You are no longer on the losing side, and he hates that. You made a decision whenever it was, wherever it was, when you cried out and said, Lord God, save me. You went from the losing side to the winning side. I know we'll forget that old Southern gospel song from many years ago. Might have been the Hensons that sung it. Said, come on over to the winning side. Can I tell you, folks, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three in one is saying, come on over. But not only come on over, stay over on the winning side. And I close with point number five as Michelle slips to the music. The fifth principle that we need to have a godly determination about concerns the prophecy of the rapture of the church. Let me say this. The Old Testament was important. And some people will say, well, we don't need the Old Testament now because we're a New Testament church, but you hear your pastor. You can't have a New Testament church unless you see what is prophesied in the Old Testament for the New Testament church. The Old Testament is the prophecy of things to come. The New Testament is the fulfillment or future fulfillment of God's church. It was prophesied that Jesus would come. It was prophesied that he would give his life. It was prophesied that he would rise again. What happened? It was prophesied the church would be raptured. So what happened in the New Testament? The prophecy concerning that Jesus would come as a babe took place. The one that said that he would go and that he would give his life took place. The one that says that he would go and he would be put in a borrowed tomb, but on the third day would rise again took place. What's happening then, Pastor Greg? What are we waiting for? We're waiting on what else was prophesied. Amen. What was that? Well, we go to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 13, in verse 28 through 37. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and brings forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the doors. Truly I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour no man knows, not the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father. Take ye notice, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, I couldn't help but think of Bishop DeVore when I was pinning these scriptures down here. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I love this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, well, Pastor Greg, do you have anything else that can comfort me today? Oh, yeah. I close out with these scriptures. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verse 1 and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm here to tell everybody in this building, I'm here to tell everyone that is watching, the rapture is about to happen. The rapture is about to take place. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready if the rapture took place today? Are you ready if the trumpet of God was to sound? Are you ready today that Jesus would split those clouds and say, come home, church, it's time? If you're here today, if you're watching and you said, well, I'm not really for sure whether I would make it, then friend, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. I want you to know today that you don't have to leave this building. You don't have to leave this service with doubt in your mind where you would spend eternity. It may not be by the way of the rapture for you. It might be the death angel knocks on your door. Well, Pastor Greg, I'm too young. Probably 1/4 of my graduation class in high school is dead. In the last 3 months, we had about 5 more that died. Well, where were they with God? Don't know. Same way with everybody in this building. I don't know where people stands with God. Same way with those that are watching. I don't know where you stand with God. But one thing I do know is this. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are you saying, Pastor? I just don't really understand that. If you're here today in this building, or if you're watching, and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, he says that if you will just simply pray a prayer from your heart, Lord God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Live and abide within my heart. I give you my life. Word of God says that when we pray that prayer from our heart and we mean it, the Bible says instantly we are saved. We're changed. We have a new name written down in glory in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you was to go out into eternity today by way of death, you would know that you know that you know that you're going home to be with the Lord. The other day, Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, a little after 4 o'clock, somewhere along in there, when Bishop J.E. DeVore took his last breath on this earth, I believe that he gave three whoops as he started going into the kingdom of God. When that last breath was taken, I'm reminded to be absent from this body is to be present with God. His body, that is at Gray Funeral Home, that's just the shell. Bishop DeVore is shouting on the streets of glory. Amen. No more sickness. No more Alzheimer's. No more dementia. No more of anything except being in the presence of God. And every one of us in this building today and those that are watching can have that promise. We've got to get a godly determination. I'm going to make it to heaven. I like what Joshua said. You can serve all these gods if you want. And he said, but it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray today for every soul that's under the sound of my voice, those that are here, those that are watching, those that will watch later on. I pray that today, God, that people would allow the Holy Spirit to speak into their heart and into their spirit. I pray that not a young person nor an adult would leave and walk out the doors of this church with doubt in their mind where they're going to spend eternity. But that, God, that people would make up their mind that they are going to serve the Lord. In hard times and in good times, on the mountaintop, but also in the valley, we're going to serve God. We're going to make it. We're not going to allow the enemy to destroy us. We're not going to allow the enemy to rob us of the greatest thing that could ever happen, and that is for us to go to be with the Lord Jesus in glory. I pray today, Lord God, if there be those that are here today that needs the Lord, that today they would pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart. They're not joining this church. They're joining your church. They're making things right between you and them. Lord, I pray for those that are here today that are going through some hard and difficult times. The enemy is trying to sift them as wheat. But Lord, I remember what you said unto Simon. But Simon, I have prayed for you. And God, the word of God says that today you sit at the right hand of the Father making intercession for each of us. And I pray for those that are here going through hard and difficult times that they would feel your encouraging, comforting touch of the Holy Spirit. No matter if it seems hopeless, God, you said that what seems impossible to man is possible with God. And I believe that today, Lord God, that you're sending their miracle. You've never been a late God. And I pray today, Lord, minister and meet the needs. Meet the needs. Heads bowed, eyes closed, everyone praying. If you're here today and you would just say, Pastor Greg, I know I'm not where I need to be at with God. With this hand lifted up to God, being honest with myself and being honest with God, I need to commit my life to God. Just raise your hand to Him today. Not going to embarrass anybody. God bless that hand. Somebody else today. Anyone else? Maybe you're here today and you would say, Pastor Greg, I'm going through those hard and difficult times right now. I don't see an answer anywhere in sight. But today I'm going to stand with faith in God's word. And I believe that God's going to bring me through. Just raise up that hand to him. God bless those hands. Yes, yes, yes. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Would you stand this morning? If you feel comfortable doing it, just take a hold of that person's hand beside of you. And I want to pray over each of you today. Heavenly Father, as I stretch my hand over this congregation, you've seen hands that have gone up signifying needs in their life. And I pray that today, right now, that God, that the presence of the Lord would just overtake them. I speak strength. I speak encouragement. I speak healing. I speak a breakthrough. I speak for change to be broken this morning in the name of Jesus. God, I speak for spiritual strength. I speak up for that one, those that raised hands, that God, that's saying that they're not where they need to be at, but God, they're ready to commit their life to you. God, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let us get a godly determination in our life that, God, we're going to make it. Though the devil may come against us, we're going to make it. Though all hell comes against us, we're going to make it. Though this world is crumbling and falling apart, we're going to make it. We're going to do it because of who you are, because of what you've done for each of us in this house. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These altars are open if you want to come this morning to these altars and pray. If you want to pray in these front chairs here, come spend some time with the Lord. It's in the altar. It's at the cross that we find strength to get us through. These altars are open for everybody from the youngest to the oldest this morning in this building.